On Tech News Today, T-Mobile tries banking, Russia tries Chinese-style hacking, and Mary Jo Foley tells us about the future of Windows. Coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014, and this is Tech News Today. Tech News Today is brought to you by Gazelle, a fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the top tech news in 30 minutes or less. I hope. Bear with us. We've got a lot of news today. We've got a fantastic guest. And so let's just launch right into the news. T-Mobile announced yesterday a service called Mobile Money, which is designed to provide basic financial services to the 70 million U.S. adults without bank accounts. Yeah, they're basically getting into the banking business. Mobile Money is designed to be an alternative to the predatory check cashing or payday loan services. It's free, so the cost is good. It combines a smartphone and a prepaid Visa debit card with partner Bancor. T-Mobile offers services like check cashing, direct deposit, and bill paying. Do we need another debit card, another kind of service that provides basic financial services?
I don't know if that's something that I'm really wanting, but I do think it's interesting that more than ever, T-Mobile is like, we are the discount carrier, and we can offer things to people who might need some financial help. Yeah. So whether it's a monthly payment that seems more attractive than some of the bigger networks, we're going to position ourselves as kind of for the little guy, I guess, is what I'm seeing more and more, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And just a few more details. This service enables people to buy and reload their cards at 3,000 T-Mobile stores. Once they have the card, they can withdraw money with no fee at 42,000 ATMs. The rest of the ATMs, they'll have to pay a fee. They can pay bills electronically. So it's all the basic services that you would expect from, you know, a card. I've gotten a simple card recently. I've gotten the Google Wallet card, and it kind of seems to do those sorts of things. And I was wondering, why would they do this? And I have a theory, which is that whenever you go to buy something, I always go kind of make a beeline to Amazon. And the reason is they've got my credit card already. I know they're going to deliver. It's a known operation to go there and buy something, and it's very easy and convenient. I think that they want to have everybody's financial data in hand because they're driving the margins in their business down to almost nothing. And so when there's very little money to be made to be in the wireless, you know, phone racket, how do you make money? Well, one way is commerce or, you know, sort of facilitating e-commerce or brick-and-mortar retail commerce. And they want a piece of this. So I see them as kind of doing this cross-promotional thing where they get people into their stores to get the card. People might see a phone they like or whatever. And it's all about these sort of discount, as you said. It's not the Apple end of the market. Apple's doing something similar. Apple's got your credit card, too, at the high end of the market. And so they're kind of going after this lower end of the market.
You mentioned Simple, which, if for anybody who's unfamiliar, is basically the same idea, where you load up a Simple card. It's not a separate bank account. It's drawing from whatever bank account that you link to it. And it's a way to, I don't know, be able to buy stuff that's separate and it's useful for a lot of reasons, but that's a startup. And in fact, I think I have a Simple card as well that I never use. And I was a little bit like, oh, so it's not really like the future of banking. It's just sort of this other card that I might have. The thing is, though, that Simple doesn't have a bunch of retail stores that I'm already going to be in anyway. T-Mobile does.
That's a great point.
So if T-Mobile can say, well, listen, here's this other business that we're doing because you're already here, person that might want to take care of their finances, I can see them being able to sell a lot more of these. And yes, they get more credit card information from their customers, which is good for their data collection.
It seems to be part of a larger trend in technology where increasingly bankers aren't doing the banking. The banking is done by all these carriers. And of course, this is app-based, so they can upgrade the service and the user experience of using this financial service by upgrading the app. And of course, it's mobile. Maybe in the future, they can roll out Google Wallet type, you know, tap to pay type services. There are a million things that they could possibly do in the future. So it's kind of an exciting thing that they're doing. It's a out of the box thinking, which is kind of what T-Mobile does these days.
Yeah, well, these days especially.
Yeah. So the future of Windows is looking a little brighter. What's happening there?
Well, an upcoming Windows 8.1 update might have new integration between the Metro-style UI and the conventional interface. Leaked screenshots appeared on the Russian website Wzor, WZOR.net. I just pronounce it Wzor, which appear to show the ability to launch Metro apps without having to switch to the start screen. Not just that, but the taskbar and navigation properties window shows a new setting called Show Store Apps on the Taskbar. Now, Microsoft is reportedly working on a way to run Windows Store apps directly in the desktop, but probably not until Windows 9 comes out, which is supposed to be 2015 at the earliest. And who else to help us make some sense of this but Mary Jo Foley, who specializes in Microsoft-related news, writes for All About Microsoft, and of course, is the host of our very own Windows Weekly here on the Twit Network. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello, Sarah.
Well, I guess my first question is, how much stock do you put in these leaked screenshots on WZOR.net?
I was wondering how you pronounce that. I'm glad you handled that. I put a lot of stock in them because this guy, this known Russian leaker, however you pronounce his name, has been pretty good with leaks in the past. And he hinted just a couple weeks ago that he was going to get his hands on a first leak build of Windows 8.1 Update 1. And I think he has got those bits now. It looks like it.
Well, we are expecting to hear more, a lot more in April about what's going to come in Windows 8.1 Update 1. Now, we know that there have been folks that have been, a little bit frustrated with the vast differences between Metro interface and regular desktop interface. Does it make sense for Microsoft to, if a change is going to come anyway, to make sure that we're not waiting until 2015 to see something like that?
Yeah, I think it does. What's going to be interesting to watch is how Microsoft does this, like how gradually or how quickly they do it. We've been getting a lot of different tips about when they're going to actually add back something like a start menu to Windows 8. Paul Theriot and I both have been getting tips on this. Paul also recently had a tip about Microsoft working on allowing these floating windows that would have Metro style apps in them that would be on your desktop. And all of these changes are supposedly happening because there are a lot of people who want to use Windows 8 desktop mode, especially people who are trying to transition over from operating systems like Windows XP or Windows 7. That's just a lot more familiar to them. So Microsoft's idea is to kind of bridge this, make that operating system more familiar and easier to navigate too with keyboard and mouse than it is right now.
Mary Jo, Paul Theriot and you both reported that the Windows 9 kind of moniker is being rushed to next year because Windows 8 was seen as something of a disappointment and a failure, sort of a kind of Windows Vista type of thing. Do you agree with that? Has Windows 8 been a colossal fiasco for Microsoft?
I wouldn't call it a colossal fiasco, but I would say sales have definitely not gone probably the way they had hoped and planned. And I keep coming back to the idea that the reason for this is Windows 8 was designed to be a touch-first operating system, but there's still not a sweeping prevalence of touch hardware out there. So when you try to use Windows 8 on an existing PC, a desktop PC, a laptop, it's especially one without touch, it's just not built for that, really. I mean, you can do it, obviously, and people are doing it, but it's a touch-first operating system, and if you don't have touch-first hardware, it's not the best experience.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Mary Jo. And you can find Mary Jo at Mary Jo Foley on Twitter and right here on Twit. Thanks again for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Well, a large percentage of internet traffic in China was redirected to a tiny house in Cheyenne, Wyoming yesterday. For almost 8 hours, Chinese internet users could not load websites ending in .com, .net, or .org in the majority of Chinese regions, according to CompuWare, a Detroit-based technology company. One Chinese antivirus company said the problem affected three-quarters of the country's domain name servers. Those servers routed traffic to a mysterious house in Wyoming listed as Soft Idea Incorporated. Now, this is a kind of a strange company. The address, as you can see, it's just a little house. It's a shady street and a shady company.
Looks lovely,
really,
actually.
It's the home of about 2,000 companies, at least technically on paper. And these companies range from a jailed former Ukrainian prime minister has a company on this site, a poker site. But more to the point, the company hosts a great many websites that are banned in China, specifically Falun Gong-oriented websites. The Falun Gong is a kind of meditation movement that's illegal in China because it's seen as a threat to the government. One of their sites, called the Epoch Times, you probably heard of it. It's a pretty major site. Is hosted by this company. The leading theory, at least the one that I find most persuasive, is that the Chinese censors tried to censor a bunch of sites hosted by this company and accidentally rerouted almost all the traffic in China to that little house.
But how do you do that accidentally? That's the weirdest accident I've heard of.
Yeah.
Maybe, not ever, but in a long time.
It's very weird. And, who knows how they actually facilitate their censorship.
Uh-huh.
I personally don't know how it works, and I'm not sure if it's especially well known. There was a similar incident yesterday as well with a company called Dynamic Internet Technology, and this is a company that helps people get around the Great Firewall of China, and that one also received a whole lot of Chinese web traffic yesterday. So it sounds like at the very least we know that it's associated with sites that are banned in China. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be either a hack attack that's trying to bring attention to censorship, or it was just a huge blunder by the censors themselves.
Well, I don't know. I mean, now what happens to the small house? Looks like it held up okay.
Yeah, it's a nice house.
I don't know what to make of it.
You'd think it would crumble under all that.
Right, under exactly. All that traffic, yeah.
It stayed up. Nice. Good infrastructure.
Well, speaking of China, it looks like the Russian government is kind of taking a play out of the Chinese playbook.
Yeah, the Russian government is being accused of industrial espionage by security firm CrowdStrike. Now, the firm said this morning that hackers, they believe, are linked to the Russian government, are spying on hundreds of American, European, and Asian companies. Dmitry Alperovich, who's the chief tech officer of CrowdStrike, says the attacks, quote, appear to have been motivated by the Russian government's interest in helping its industry maintain competitiveness in key areas of national importance, and that, quote, they're copying the Chinese playbook. Cyber espionage is very lucrative for economic benefit to a nation. What's interesting about this is a few things. It's the first time that Russia has been linked to cyber attacks for alleged, again, this is alleged, economic gain rather than just political gain. So there's something to be said about spying on companies. Now, apparently, CrowdStrike isn't naming the company specifically. They say that they've got agreements with them to not out anybody. And they're not exactly saying how these attacks are happening, but they say this includes European energy companies, defense contractors, technology companies, government agencies. Some have lost intellectual property. Manufacturing and construction firms in the United States, Europe, and the Middle East. U.S. healthcare providers. Kind of everybody. Well, spying for economic gain, certainly not a new concept, but it's interesting that we're talking about Russia in those terms when historically this is something that has been equated with China.
Sure. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time Russia has ever done this, if in fact this report is accurate. And it's an important thing to understand about governments, major governments that conduct surveillance and hacking and so on. The misunderstanding about the whole issue is that the United States hacks for security, for anti-terrorism, and that China hacks for monetary gain, industrial espionage. But actually, that's a little bit of a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that China believes that financial growth is how they attain security. They grow. The Communist Party has embraced capitalism like almost no other capitalist country in the world, precisely for security reasons. The history of China is one in which the country was kind of pushed around 100 years ago by all the great powers because they were both divided and because they were poor and non-industrialized. So the lesson that China has learned since the 60s, 70s, and 80s is that economic growth equals security. So I wonder if Russia has come to the same conclusion. Russia has, especially Vladimir Putin, believes that Russia used to be a great power under the Soviet Union, but nowadays they get pushed around a lot on the international stage. And they probably concluded, and this is my guess, that it's because they're not as wealthy as some of the other countries. And now it looks like they may have fully embraced the Chinese model. Let's get secure. Let's get political power and street cred around the world by getting richer. And how do we get richer? We steal it.
If you're wondering exactly what CrowdStrike did, again, we don't have all the details, but they've been following the activities of a Russian group for about 2 years. And they say because of technical indicators, analysis of the targets chosen, and the data that was stolen, it does point to an economic thing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to tell you about a very inexpensive trend in phones coming up in just a sec. But first, I want to tell you about how our sponsor, Gazelle, made one person's dream come true. And that person was me. Yesterday, Motorola announced the Moto X with the fancy wood backing. They had a bamboo one they announced a few weeks ago, but now they came out with ebony and walnut and the real ones that they'd promised early on. Now, when they first announced these phones, I wanted one of these phones right away. I wanted the ebony-backed Moto X. That's really what I wanted. And look at that. Oh, what a beauty. And I've lusted after this phone, but I just couldn't wait. So when they launched the Moto X, I went out and bought one. And so when they announced it, finally got around to announcing the wood-back phones yesterday, I thought, well, that's too bad. I already have a Moto X. I can't justify going out and getting one. But then I thought, Gazelle.com. So I went there to see how much they'd pay me for my my Moto X, the one that I bought last year. And it turns out that they were willing to pay $193. So I thought, well, that's interesting. That's quite a lot of money. So I went to the Moto Maker website where you customize in the United States, where you can customize your phone, and they'll build it to order, and found that I had an upgrade coming and that the cost, therefore, would be $136.24. And what that means is that I'm actually going to be paid money by Gazelle. I'm going to come out ahead $50-something dollars thanks awesome. To Gazelle, and I'm going to have a fancy new ebony Moto X. This is the kind of dreams that Gazelle.com makes comes true. So Gazelle.com is G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. And you want to look around to see what you've got lying around and see how much they'll pay you for it. And they'll fund your dream of a new phone. Offers are good for 30 days. That means that I still have my old Moto X while they're building my new one. And I'll keep it until I get the new one. Once I get the new one, then I'll send it in. The price is locked in. I know for sure that they're going to pay me this $193, and that's very reassuring. In fact, Gazelle has more than 700,000 very happy customers, and they paid out more than $100 million. Shipping is free, processing is fast, and it's just a fantastic service in every possible way. And when I get the new Moto X, I'm going to show it to you right here on the show, and I'm really thrilled. And my wife is thrilled, too, because I'm not just going out and spending a bunch of money on yet another phone. So find out what your iPhone is worth. Take a minute and go to Gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because the value of all these devices just keeps going down and you'll get maximum bang for your buck right now by going to Gazelle.com. And we thank them for sponsoring Tech News Today. Well, Motorola has another phone called the Moto G, which is very inexpensive. Costs about $180. And it turns out that Motorola's CEO is looking at possibly shipping in the future a $50 smartphone. In an interview with the site Trusted Reviews, CEO Dennis Woodside said that even the Moto G is too expensive for many parts of the world, and they're looking at a $50 phone. There's another company that's working on a $50 phone called, the phone is called GIU F1. It's called the GIU F1 phone, and it's coming out next month for $49.99 or something like this, a $50 phone. And they're also working on a 3G version, according to reports, for the global market, which will be in the same price point. Is $50 the new bottom of how much unlocked phones cost?
Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who say it sounds about right. I mean, as long as the phone, phones are made of so many different materials now. It's sort of like, yeah, for a $50 phone, it's not going to be the top of the line phone. And that's fine for a lot of folks. And for many people that can't get into the smartphone market, this is the only option that makes a lot of sense. So absolutely, I think that they'll sell plenty.
I also think it'll usher in some new models. For example, you can see free phones that are advertiser supported, or free phones that, we've already seen phones that come with a contract that are supposedly free, but now we could see phones that are essentially free and there's no contract.
Is it like the People PC of phones? Wasn't it People PC, the PCs years and years ago, that you could get almost, I think, entirely for free as long as you were okay with that static like ad that was on your screen all the time?
That's right. There have been multiple categories of products where everybody predicted that there would be free, advertiser-supported or simply free devices like the tiny laptops, the tablets have been predicted to do that. But I think smartphones are a real winner in terms of free devices, especially around the world where the competition is so fierce for so many of these things.
I'd like to see what an advertiser-supported, absolutely free phone looks like. Besides the logo on the phone itself, I mean, if I'm going to my browser, do I always have an ad and in the bottom, you know,
how invasive.
Third of the screen? It's I can't really imagine that. But yeah, I have no doubt that somebody's going to try it.
A lot of people would go for it. Well, the owners of the Washington Post, of course, sold their storied newspaper to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. What are they doing now?
Well, the former owners of that Washington Post have relaunched an iOS news app called Trove. You might have heard of it before, but this is a new version. It's also a website, and a fellow by the name of Rob Malda is Trove's chief strategist and head of product. If that name doesn't ring a bell, you might know him as Commander Taco of Slashdot fame. I didn't know his real name, but I know who Commander Taco is.
I never heard his real name either, and I would have loved to have been in that meeting where they were introduced. Donald Graham, may I introduce Commander Taco? Commander Taco, Donald Graham. That would have been fantastic. Well, this is another social news curation site. They've got celebrity curators like Top Chef contestant Spike Mendelsohn. They've got Boston Celtic Chris Humphreys. And they've also got us. We're not officially involved in curating, but we signed up this morning. We've got a Tech News Today curated Trove. They call them Troves. The channel or the account that you have is called a Trove. So you can go today to sign up for the Tech News Today Trove and get news directly from us. And that's going to be lots and lots of breaking news and other goodies, stories we're looking at, stories we've already covered, follow-up stories, and so on. So you really want to go to Trove.com and sign up for that. So right now it's just a website and an iOS app, as you said. In the future, I expect there to be an Android site. So, Sarah, what do we have in the email mailbag?
All right. Well, so Alan wrote in, and this is in response to, I think it was one of your theories about distracted driving. He says, I was thinking about Mike's assertion that tech doesn't increase car accidents since the accident rate hasn't gone up as mobile phones have been introduced to the driving public. However, any increase in the accident rate might be compensated for by increased safety technology in cars also. In fact, the accident rate might even go down overall, even if mobile phone usage does increase the likelihood of an accident. Of course, I don't know what the actual numbers are. I'm just arguing theoretically, but it would be interesting to see a study on distracted accident rates, controlling for safety improvements, and other factors.
I would like to see that study, too, because, of course, we don't know. And there's a number thrown around a lot that 100,000 accidents per year are caused by people texting on phones and so on. That number seems awfully high considering the decline in accidents. But again, we don't know. I'd like to see a really good study that is not biased against technology to really look at this and find out whether technology is distracting drivers and causing accidents, or distraction is causing accidents, and one of the things that people are distracted by is technology.
Yeah, and I'd like to see the study not conducted by one of the motor companies.
Exactly. That's right.
We've got the safest cars.
Yeah. Or one of the handset manufacturers.
Or that. Would be another one. Exactly.
We reported yesterday on Tech News Tonight, that our 4 o'clock show, that Amazon.com may launch a pay TV service. We reported The report originated with a Wall Street Journal source is saying that Amazon has approached entertainment companies about licensing their television channels for a new pay TV service similar to cable and satellite TV, but streamed over the internet. Today, an Amazon spokesperson said that the company has no such plans. They flat out said it's not happening. In another denial news, we told you yesterday about a new NPD report published Monday that found premium cable networks like HBO and Showtime have lost 6% of their viewers in the last 2 years. Both HBO and Showtime flat out denied the finding, saying that each company has grown by more than 22% in the same period, and said that other competitors in that space have also grown similarly. So they've either declined by 6% or they've increased by more than 22%. And I think we need yet another, some more good reporting on that to find out exactly what is happening there. How do you figure out, you interviewed the author of Hatching Twitter.
Nick Bilton. Nick Bilton. Of the New York Times, right?
And he talked about the complicated relationship of the top group in Twitter, and how can you keep that straight?
Yeah, well, yeah, if you read the book Hatching Twitter, or even if you've just sort of heard about the beginnings of Twitter, it sounds like there were some heads butting in those early days. If you ever wanted to hear the story of how Twitter began, though, by Russian Doll, I know it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what a Kickstarter project called Nesting Twitter wants to do for you. It's actually a set of nesting Russian Matryoshka dolls. Those are the dolls that go inside the other dolls. You know what I mean. The outermost doll represents Twitter's users. Then you've got current CEO Dick Costolo, then Ev Williams, Jack Dorsey, Biz Stone, Noah Glass, and finally the tiny egg, which represents the idea itself. Now, you might say that's silly. Why would I pay for that? The designer of the dolls is Li Ying, who is the artist who designed Twitter's fail whale. Somebody who knows what they're doing. So if the project meets its funding goal, the doll should be available in the spring.
Gotta have that. Gotta have that on my desk.
Kind of
want it.
That's
a good collectible right
kinda
there.
Kind of want it. Mm-hmm. At first, I was like, that's a silly idea. And then once I got to look at it, I was like, that's actually kind of cool for the mantle.
Well, that's our show. Send your news tips to our email address at tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, upvote the stories you'd like to see us cover on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com and visit our Tech News Today Google Plus community. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. Also, make sure you subscribe to our new Trove by going to trove.com and searching for Tech News Today. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.